Yay, God, again and again and again and again. No end. You know, that I told you the story, I think, recently. Maybe, I don't know when. About why I say, yay, God. And it's basically my non-religious way of saying hallelujah. And you know they say there's no end to the hallelujahs in heaven. So there don't need to be any end to our yay, gods on this earth. I brought this up here with me. It's the order of service that Pastor Linda handed me that lists the songs. And I wish you, I kind of wish you knew ahead of time what the message was going to be today. Not Pastor Linda, she knows by the Spirit, I'm sure, judging from these songs. But if you knew, you would have been sitting there like me going, every song is preaching the message. Fresh Wind, what we were really, the message is No Sweat Part 2, Finding the Rest of God. We're going to talk about the rest of God. Fresh Wind, what you're really asking for with that song is God to come in and renew you and revive you, bring you into the rest of God. Then they sang the next one, This Is a Move, and I'm going like, well, you know what? If you aren't living in the rest of God, there is no move of God in your life. You only find the supernatural power of God when you are able to live in the rest. I'm going home. I don't need to preach the message. God doesn't agree with me, but I'm just always amazed. Not in a hurry. I'm not in a hurry when it comes to your spirit. That's how you enter the rest of God. You see what these songs did? Listen to our hearts. That's what the rest of God is all about, that he will come and rest in our hearts and listen to your heart. And then Jeannie tied it all up with a big bright bow with, give me faith, because the truth of the matter is, without faith, you cannot enter the rest of God. I'm done preaching. God has more to say. But I call it the synchronicity of God. And I'm always blown away by the synchronicity of God. If you don't know what synchronicity means, it means everything works together, finely tuned. If any of you ever had or watched or looked at the inside of a grandfather clock, there's all these little wheels that go around at a certain speed, and everything is in sync. That's what synchronicity is that everything is in sync. We come to these services, and everything is in sync. Everything leads one into another. I think of the synchronicity of messages in this house. And there is no way you could have the synchronicity of God, whether in the chain of messages or in the list of songs we sing, unless y'all are hearing from the Spirit. Because he's the only one who can orchestrate the synchronicity of God. Pastor Linda taught on covenant, and it led right into Friday night soul ties. And her soul ties on Friday night led right into this message that we're going to talk about. Who can do that but God? Who can plan a chain of messages that all synchronize except the Holy Spirit? No sweat. No sweat. No sweat. Life is no sweat. Well, only if you're living in the rest of God. Part two is finding the rest of God. Why do we have to find it? Well, very simply, because it was lost. It was lost by Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve lived in the rest of God. Adam and Eve were made in God's image. They operated in his presence, in his power, in his authority. Their entire life in the garden was lived in participation with God. Their life was lived in the rest of God. Unfortunately, sin came along, and the rest of God was lost. No sweat. Sweat in the Bible means working without God's power. And when they sinned, they lost the ability to work with God's power. They are now working in their human power. So it is so important for us now, because Jesus went to the cross. He redeemed us from every single thing that Satan did in the fall, including the loss of the rest of God. In the Old Testament, the only way they entered the rest of God was to go to the tabernacle, bring an offering, bring a sacrifice. We don't have to go through priests and processes and sacrifices to enter the rest of God. We're going to find out how we enter the rest of God today. It is so important for us to get to the place where we are living our lives in partnership with God, like Adam and Eve did in the garden. It's just amazing. I'm getting ahead of the message now, but I'm going to go there anyway. Think about this. Think about the power, the potential, the brain power that Adam was working in the garden, when God brought all the animals to him to see what he would name them. Shannon, he named every one of them. How many of them could you look at and name? Don't answer. Not just the animals, the birds of the field, the fowl of the air, the field animals, all the animals and the birds of the air. He named them, and it says whatever he named them, that is its name. Now, honestly, we all have that brain power, but we can't use it all right now. The day will come when we can. But today we want to talk about finding the rest of God, finding out, well, let's just go to the first Bible verse. Genesis chapter 2, verse 2. The rest of God started at creation. This is where the principle of the rest of God is introduced to us. By the seventh day, God completed his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day. Rested, rested, rested. Does that mean he was tired and he needed a break? No. Rested means he ceased. He stopped. He rested from his work that he had done. He rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. Not because he was tired, but because the work was done. Why could he rest from his work on the seventh day? It was finished. What do you do when you have a job to do and it's done? You stop. He stopped because the work was finished. In the account of creation, we see that the will of God, let there be light, was spoken by the Word of God, and it was brought into being by the Spirit of God. We're going to look at this. Because the work was finished, there was nothing more to do. His will for the earth had been spoken into existence by the living Word. Who's the living Word? Jesus. Jesus is the living Word. And carried out by the power of the Spirit. John chapter 1, verse 1 and following, tells us the role of Jesus in creation when it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with the Word. All things were made by him, and without him there was not anything made that was made. In him, in the Word, was life. He's the one that spoke life to the earth. He spoke the will of the Father, which was life and light. All the things that he spoke were the will of the Father, and the Holy Spirit brought them into existence. And later in that same chapter that I was just talking about, John chapter 1, I think it's verse 18, it says, and the Word, who's that? Jesus, was made flesh, and he came to dwell among us. The message says he came to dwell in the neighborhood. The Word, Jesus, took on flesh and came to dwell with us. Now, let's find a verse that shows us the role of the Holy Spirit in creation. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Hovering is translated sometimes as moving, incubating, brooding. All these words that tell us something is waiting. He was waiting. What was he waiting for? He was waiting for the Word to speak so that he could bring it to pass. Any of you raise chickens? If you do, you know what a broody hen is. Brooding. The Holy Spirit was brooding over the earth. He was waiting. A broody hen has eggs she's sitting on, waiting for life to leap out of them. The Holy Spirit was waiting for the Word to be spoken so that he could make that life leap out into being. We see all three persons of the Godhead working at creation, doing their respective parts. It's the Father's will, it's the Word spoken by the Son, and the Holy Spirit brings it to pass. Now, can I give you a revelation? It works that way in your life, too. That's the way it works in your life. It is the most direct path to answered prayer. Something you need? Something you have a will for? Find the will of God on that topic. Speak the Word of God over that situation and watch, wait for the Holy Spirit to bring it to pass. One of the things I consistently pray for right now is strength. I know it's God's will to give me strength. He says that he provides strength for everything he asks us to do. I can do all things through Christ, who does what? Strengthens me. And in Psalms it says it pleasures God to give us strength. So I have based my prayer on the will of God. Not my will, but your will. And I speak the Word of God. Thank you, God, that you are healing my body day by day. Every day I'm getting stronger. Every day I'm stronger for longer. Thank you for strength, Father God. And I stand and watch the Holy Spirit bring it to pass. Let me tell you, when my ability to walk was attacked in December, and I couldn't walk, I had to move my bed closer to the bathroom. We have a master bath. I had to move it as close as I could get it to the master bath because I couldn't walk from the bed to the bathroom. Now, I counted it out a couple days ago. It was 20 steps from where the bed was to the toilet. And we had to move that bed as close as we could to the bathroom so that I could use the wall or whatever was necessary when I had to get up in the middle of the night. I had a cane, too. After we moved it, it was 8 steps. I'm telling you, you understand this was really important. Yeah. And 8 steps were difficult. And on December 29th, God said to me, your healing has come, walk it out. Walking was the thing I couldn't do without help. And so I started walking. I walked, you know, from the bed to the kitchen, from the bed to the front door. I walked outside down my sidewalk, which is exactly 10 feet long. I don't know how many steps that is. And back into the house. Then I started walking down the driveway, halfway, and back up. And then all the way down the driveway, to the point now where I can walk 2 miles without stressing. I was listening to Jeannie today. She's amazing. Girl, I'm gonna tell on you. She's losing 7 pounds a week. That is supernatural ability. Not one of us has lost 7 pounds per week for months on end. And she's walking about 6 miles a day. That's finding the will of God, which was her healing, speaking it out, and watching the Holy Spirit bring it to pass. That pattern is the pattern for answered prayer. Find the will of God over your situation, no matter what it is. Is it God's will for you to have a job? Absolutely it is. He said, if any would not work, neither should he eat. Besides that, before he gave Adam anything, family, he gave him work to do. He put him in the garden. He said, tend it, take care of it, cultivate it, keep it. He had work to do before he had a wife. It is God's will. So if you're looking for a job, God, I know it's your will that I should work. I'm asking you to show me the place where you want me to work. Pray it out, call it in. Daddy, I call my job in. I call my strength in every day. And wait, because the Holy Spirit is hovering over the surface of your heart, your life. He's hovering over your prayer. He's like a broody hen sitting on those eggs waiting for the right time for them to hatch. He's sitting on your circumstances. Can you picture that? He's sitting. We say, come rest on us. What are we asking for? We're asking for him to come and brood over us. Come, rest on us. Bring to pass the thing that he knows we need and we know we have need and have asked for. He knows a lot of things you need, but you haven't asked for them yet. That's on you. That's your problem. Let's go to Hebrews 1, verses 2 and 3, just a confirmation of what we just talked about. By his Son, God created the world. We always say God created the world. Well, he did, but by his Son. He did it through the power of the word spoken by his Son, and it will all belong to the Son at the end. You know that from Revelation. Jesus becomes the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Everything belongs to him. He perfectly mirrors God. It's God's character that's stamped on him. He holds everything together by what he says. The power of God's word. Do you know why the sun still shines? Do you know why there's still a moon in the sky at night and stars in the sky at night? Because God has never pulled back that word that said, sun shine. When he commanded the sun to shine, it leaped into being. When he said, let there be light, light leaped into being. And that was light different than the sun, moon, and stars. That's the light that even when it's all dark at night, there's still light. First light, you know. That's why the seas, the oceans still stay pretty much within their boundaries. That's why there is still dry land. Because he said, let the dry land appear. And he has never taken back that word. All the things that he said at creation remain in effect until he says something different. Think about that and the power of your words. What do you want? Tell him what you want. Understand. You found his will, you found his words, and you're speaking his words over your situation. So understand that that word that was spoken is still speaking out. That's why it's so important to be careful what you say. Because even the wrong words you say are still out there speaking. That's why we cancel every foul word spoken against us every day. Because they're still out there speaking, whether we can hear them or not. We have to cancel them. Sorry, excuse me. God rested from his work at creation because it was finished, and it points us forward to the rest that Jesus won for us at the cross. Remember, at the cross, Jesus said, it is finished. He was telling us that everything that needed to be done to return us to the state of being that we had with God in the Garden of Eden has been done. Now we have to find that. On the cross, when he said it's finished, he was saying that we have been reconciled to God, we've been redeemed, God's image has been restored to us, God's power has been restored to us, God's authority has been restored to us, and we have the ability to live in partnership with God, like Adam and Eve did. Do you think about that? Do you think that you are living in partnership with God? Just as God rested after creation, we now can rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ if we put our trust, our faith, our confidence in him. Without faith, you will never enter the rest of God. So we need to find it, and we need to walk in it. Spiritual rest is found in our relationship with God. Psalm 132, verse 8 says, "Arise, O Lord, to your resting place, you and the ark of your strength." The ark of his strength represents his power. So what are we asking? Arise, O God, to your resting place. Come, you and your strength. Where is God's resting place? It's your heart. God's resting place is your heart. He has no other resting place than the hearts of human beings who have accepted Jesus, who love him. This psalm is a prayer, it's a plea, it's a cry that God will come into his resting place, which is your heart, and bring his power. The ark represents his power. We're looking for rest, and so is God. Isn't it amazing that he finds rest in your heart and you find rest in his? God and you are looking for the same thing. And he finds it in your heart, you find it in his heart. What kind of resting place are you giving him? You know, people always say, "Oh, I'm so tired, I'm exhausted, I need to get some rest." Usually they mean I need to sit down. Take it easy for a minute. Maybe I need some sleep. But that's not really what you're saying. What you're really saying is, I need a place without chaos. I need a place away from all the turmoil and all the stress and all the chaos. So what kind of resting place are you giving God in your heart? In other words, what's the condition of your heart? Is it a sanctuary for him? Is it a peaceful place? Is it a place where he can rest? Friday night at Journey of Faith, we were instructed to find a quiet place. And as music was playing and the lights were low, conditions were just absolutely perfect for us to find a place alone and get with God and let him show us the condition of our heart. You need to know the condition of your heart so that you can ask God to change it. We asked him, we were instructed to ask him to show us all the things that we needed to change. And I don't know about you, but he was sure faithful to do that for me. She told us to write them all down. I had a pretty long list. But why is that important? Because our hearts need to be washed. They need to be purified. They need to be made a place of peace and rest for him. When you say you need rest, you don't necessarily mean you need sleep. You mean that you need a quiet time away from the chaos and turmoil of the normie daily life. You need a place to rejuvenate. You need a place to be restored. It's why we take vacations. It's why we take a weekend away. It's why Pastor Linda is looking forward to her two-hour drive to Tampa, because it's going to be a time of rest with God. Quiet time with God. We all need it. And our rest only comes in the presence of God. Now, think about God. We've just thought about us and our need for rest. What about God? Think about all the chaos and confusion that he witnesses every day. Think about what he sees as he looks down on the earth as a whole. Think about what he sees as he looks down on your life. Think about what he sees. Think about what he hears. Think of all the garbage that fills his ears every day. Think of all the lies that he's exposed to every day. All the times when people use his name as a cuss word. All the garbage that assails God's eyes and ears every single day. He's looking for rest from that. Can he find it in your heart? Is your heart a sanctuary? Is your heart a peaceful place where he can come, where he is welcomed, where he is worshiped, where he is honored? Is it a place where he can rest from the chaos of the world? His only resting place is your heart. Arise, O Lord, to your resting place. Come to our hearts, you and the ark of our strength. So if you're going to pray that, if you're going to ask him that, make sure you're giving him a heart that is a place of rest. When we sing, oh, I love this. We sang, Holy Spirit, come rest on us. For how many weeks in a row? Three, maybe. Services, four, five, six. Holy Spirit, come rest on us. What were we really asking for? Were you thinking about it when you sang it? We were asking for him to come, his presence, to come and rest here corporately and rest here individually. Holy Spirit, come rest on us. We're asking for his presence. We're asking for the blessing of his presence and everything that comes with it. We're asking for peace, for serenity, for provision. All that stuff is part of spiritual rest, part of the rest of God. The song said, as the Spirit was moving over the waters, come rest on us. Come move over us. We've been singing those words, and it is a reference to the Holy Spirit moving at creation. It said he was hovering, he was moving over the waters. He was waiting. He was waiting for the word to be spoken so that he could cause those things that were spoken to leap into being. When we're singing, as the Spirit was moving over the waters, come rest on us, come move on us, we're actually praying the same prayer that David prayed in Psalm 51 when he said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. We're asking for the Holy Spirit to come and create a clean heart, a spirit that's right with him. Why? Because that's the heart where he can rest. So, resting in God is the place of empowerment in our lives. I said that song, this is a move, unless your heart is a resting place for him. Unless you have found the rest of God, there's nothing miraculous happening in your life. The rest of God is the place of empowerment in our lives. It requires that we stop trying to do it by ourselves. That we stop trying to do it on our own terms. That we rely on him. Where in your life are you most frustrated right now? Think about it. I'm going to give you a minute to think about it. Where are you most frustrated? That is most likely where you are trying to do life on your own instead of relying on him. Is it a relationship that's frustrating you? Are you trying to fix that relationship in your own strength, in your own mind, with your own thoughts, with your own wisdom? Or have you taken it to God? Are you struggling with finances or health? Have you taken them to God? Have you found the will of God? Spoken the word of God and waiting for the Spirit to move in your life? Does it seem like everything that can go wrong does go wrong? Well, let me ask you this question then. Is God the first place you turn with each question, with each problem, with each concern? Do you hit your knees first or as a last resort? as Pastor Linda says, knee-mail. How fast are you to send that knee-mail? We're so fast to send emails and texts to anybody that we know that we think about anything that concerns them. How quickly do you give God a knee-mail? How quickly do you go to God with those problems? Or is he, well, when everything else fails, maybe it's time to pray. Entering God's rest really means a shift from relying on our own wits, you know what I mean by that, our own resources, our own experience, and instead trusting in the work that Jesus did at the cross when he said, "It is finished," meaning that God has restored to us everything that Adam lost in the garden, and now we have to walk in it. Let's look at Matthew 11. Are you tired? How many times did I hear, oh, I'm tired, I'm exhausted? Are you worn out? Your rest is not going to be in going to bed. It's going to be in finding the rest of God. Are you burned out on religion? I have to honestly tell you that when I came to Working Faith Ministries, I was burned out on religion. I wanted to sit right in the back row, the very end, right where Kim is sitting, and I wanted to sit there every Sunday and every Wednesday because nobody could see me there. I felt like I was in my own little world with God. I came needing to do what it says. Get away with me and recover your life. I didn't need any people. I didn't want any people. I didn't want to talk to Pastor Linda. Right? Because I knew who she was, and talking to her might end up in a relationship that would get me in some work. I wanted time alone. I wanted time to get away with God and recover my life. He says, I will show you how to take a real rest. That's the rest of God. He's going to show us how to do that. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Remember the message series? I think it was 21 weeks long. Take a walk with God. That's what we did. Every week we walked with Jesus somewhere. And we watched what he was doing and how he was doing it and how it would apply to our lives. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy on you or ill-fitting. Keep company with me. Are you keeping company with God? Are you walking down the road with God? The road of life. I don't just mean the morning when you go for your morning walk. But are you walking with him all day long? Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. The unforced rhythm of grace is about finding that place. Hear me. Finding that place where we live by the voice of God. That's the place you need to find. Finding that place where our actions are guided by the Holy Spirit, and then we are empowered to live in partnership with God. All of that is ours by grace. The rest of God is a place of peace. It's a place of protection. It's a place of freedom from the burdens of life, from the stress of life, from the, oh my God, I'm so tired. The rest of God is the place where you will find the rest that you need. It's a promise. Jesus said, come to me and I'll give you rest. And it's a provision that God already made through Jesus at the cross. So it's there, kind of like a golden coin laying on the sidewalk, waiting for you to see it and pick it up. It's the rest of God. Can you pick up the rest of God and walk in it, spend it, use it, order your life according to it? God's rest is for our life now, and it's on into eternity. If you thought eternal rest meant when you go in your grave, in your coffin, in your casket, when you die, and we call that eternal rest, when you're dead and gone, you're mistaken. If you do not enter the rest of God on earth, Hear me. If you do not enter it on earth, you will never enter it in heaven. Entering the rest of God requires, as Jeannie sang, faith and obedience. And it is possible to fall short of it, even though Jesus provided it and it's available to everyone. Hebrews 4, verses 1 through 3. Now, since God has left us the promise of rest, that we may enter his rest, let us be very careful so none of you fail to enter. There's a warning there. I've provided it. It's clear. It's not even difficult. Be careful you don't fail to enter. The good news was preached to us as it was to them, them being the Israelites in the wilderness, but the teaching they heard did not help them because they heard it but did not accept it with faith. You need faith to enter the rest of God. We who have believed are able to enter and to have the rest of God. In the wilderness, God revealed himself to Israel in multiple ways through the promises that they already had through his word, by the prophetic word of Moses spoken to them through those 40 years, through miraculous deliverances, through miraculous provision, many proofs of his faithfulness and his love for them. He sent manna from heaven for them. What kind of proof do you need? He sent quail when they were hungry on the ground so they could catch them. Ever tried to catch quail? Supernatural provision. He sent water from a rock. He made their enemies afraid of them so that they wouldn't even attack them because he knew they weren't ready for battle yet. They heard all that and they had all that proof, but they didn't act on it with faith and they died in the wilderness. It's a warning for us not to be like them. Now, hear this. The rest of God is not a rest from work. Don't get it wrong. The rest of God is a rest to work, to do greater works. Jesus said, "The works that I do, you will do too, and greater works than these." The rest of God is that place of empowerment. It's working by the power of God, not by your own ability. We already said Adam lost it in the garden. You know, in the garden, because he had the image of God, the power of God, he could say weeds go and there wouldn't be any. He could say flowers bloom and the flowers could be blooming. He didn't have to plow. He didn't have to plant. He didn't have to deal with thorns and thistles. He was told to take care of the garden, to cultivate it, and to guard it. And he had the ability to do that until he sinned. He had supernatural power. When we operate in the rest of God, we also have supernatural power, supernatural ability. God is not going to ask us to do anything that he has not already provided the power to do. The Bible gives us many different ways of visualizing the rest of God. One of my favorites is Jesus talking about the vine and the branches. Now, I don't know if you ever thought of that as a picture of the rest of God. Let's read it. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So you will never, ever walk into a grape arbor and hear moaning and groaning. You'll never hear sounds of straining and struggle to produce fruit. You won't hear any branches crying out, "I'm trying so hard. I'm really trying. I'm trying. I'm trying. God, I'm trying so hard to produce fruit." You won't hear that. You will not hear that. You won't hear him saying, "I'm sorry, but I just can't do it." Because fruit is the natural result of being connected to the vine. That's why Jesus said, "Without me, you can do nothing." stay connected to the vine. If we do not stay connected to him, we are useless. Do you like that word? I don't like that word. I don't like to feel useless. I like worthy work. I like work that is useful, that accomplishes things. If we don't stay connected to him, we are useless. We cannot bear fruit in the kingdom. And those are the ones, if you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that's thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and become part of the bonfire at the youth center. Oh, it doesn't say that, does it? Well, close. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, you can ask whatever you wish. Imagine that. You can ask whatever you wish. And it will be done for you. Now, if you are remaining in him, you are asking according to his will. You're not asking something crazy and whatever. But the rest of God is the result of staying connected to him. His rest includes supernatural ability, supernatural provision, everything we need to do his work on the earth and bear much fruit. When we were building the youth center, that's a great example of supernatural ability and supernatural provision. Those of you who were here know very well that you worked week after week beyond your natural ability. And you went home physically exhausted, tired, sore. Can you say amen, Rob? Amen. You did that for days and weeks on end. But everything we needed to do the work of building that place was supernaturally provided, and it was provided just when we needed it. God sent us people with special skills just when he needed them. At one point in time, we needed a bobcat. We don't own a bobcat. We didn't know where we were going to get one, but we needed one. It appeared on the property the next morning. There it was, sitting on the property. I think it was Pastor Linda that said, isn't that a bobcat over there? And they went and talked to the man. And there was some little issue with his bobcat. I don't know what it was, but we helped him with his bobcat, and he used his bobcat to do the work that we needed. All the games, all the equipment, all the furnishings, everything inside those buildings were supernaturally provided. Supernaturally. Someone, do you need a pool table? Do you need games? Some man gave us the whole floor of his room that was a game center. Gave. Supernaturally provided. God was going before us every step of the way, putting everything into place just when we need it. It's the result of operating in the rest of God, knowing the will of God, praying the will of God, and waiting for the Holy Spirit to bring it to pass. You can ask whatever you need, whatever you wish, to do the work of the kingdom. Don't ask for stuff that's against God's will. But if you're asking for what you need to do the work of the kingdom, if you're asking for him to fix your marriage, if you're asking for him to find a job, if you're asking for him to heal your body, if you're asking for him to give you finances because there's something on your heart to do for the kingdom and you can't do it, he'll give it to you. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength is a promise of supernatural ability. Listen to this. All the singers on the stage are operating in supernatural ability. There is not one of them that's a professional singer. There's not one of them, well, most of them never sang anywhere before they stepped up to lead here. There might be a couple of exceptions. Yet God supernaturally works through them, and they bring the anointing. They bring us into the presence of God because God supernaturally works through them. Jeannie understands that her breath is supernatural. Savannah dances supernaturally. Sean is operating in supernatural ability as he plays the keyboard. He didn't play. God is teaching him. He hasn't taken lessons. He's playing supernaturally. All the people who fight through pain and infirmity to get up here and serve on the worship team, or those who fight through pain and infirmity to be at work day, they're operating in supernatural ability. When they bought this church and began the huge process of cleaning it up, and they worked day after day after day, after working all week at their regular jobs, 9 to 5 or 8 to 5 or whatever, and then coming here and working on this property till well after midnight, working all day Saturday, working all weekend, and then going back to their jobs. That was supernatural ability. I have experienced God working supernaturally through me, allowing me to do things I wasn't physically able to do. God gave me supernatural provision recently when he asked me to do something that I didn't have the ability to do financially. But as soon as I said, yes, I'll do that, the finances appeared. Supernaturally. From nowhere that you would have expected. Bishop and Pastor Marjorie tell about the Bible studies they used to have in their home, and they would feed the people, and about having so many coming for a particular Bible study that they had nowhere near enough food for all the people that showed up, yet they served everybody. And they didn't run out of food until everyone had been fed. God will supernaturally provide everything you need to do the work of the kingdom. Very few people recognize the supernatural ability that is available to them. Very few of you, us, recognize the supernatural ability that is available to us to do the work of God. So often we don't step up and do it. We say, I can't do that. I don't know how to do that. We have all our excuses, but we forget that God will provide supernatural strength, supernatural ability, when we are willing to do whatever he asks us to do. Let's see. Yeah, we're going to close here. All of this is so that we can... Oh, put that back up quick. The last... Okay, verse 8. Yes. All of this is so that we can bear much fruit, showing ourselves to be his disciples. Bearing fruit is the mark of a disciple. All of this is for the glory of God. If God asks you to do something that you know you can't do, you don't think you can do, you don't want to do, let him know you're willing. And he will provide the ability. He will provide the strength. He will provide the finances. He will provide whatever is needed. The rest of God is found in letting the Holy Spirit direct your life every step of the way. Every day. In every situation. Amen? Amen. I'm closing here. Father, it's mind-boggling to us what you can do through us. It's mind-boggling to us that you love us so much that you can and will provide all the strength, every provision, everything that we need to do the work of the kingdom that you have asked us to do. My prayer, Father, is that you will come and rest on our hearts. Come and show us what in our hearts needs to change. Come and show us how to make our hearts your resting place so that you can rest in us and we can rest in you and we can work in that supernatural partnership that you've designed for us. Thank you for it, God, because there's no greater privilege on the earth. And we're looking forward to the supernatural partnerships with you in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Do I have any prayer warriors?